Shavua Tov Morach Rabotai Beruchin Nimsaim. We are studying Sefer Tehillim. Tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, we begin Perek Zayin. Just as an introduction to our Perek tonight. Our Perek, of course, was said by David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, and the theme of the Perek is regarding his relationship that he had with his father-in-law, the king of Israel, Shaul. The problem was that Shaul HaMelech had great animosity at times towards David. As a matter of fact, on several occasions, Shaul tried to kill David. David was forced to protect himself. But David had no animosity. It wasn't mutual, the feelings. David always tried to show Shaul that he was loyal to him. And anything that Shaul felt was either in his mind, like we studied in Navi. The Navi says that Shaul actually suffered from a malady of depression, and therefore that caused him to conjure up these thoughts against David. But David throughout his whole life was trying to prove to Shaul that he has no ill feeling. He had two occasions to prove this. One occasion was when Shaul was in a cave and he had disrobed in order to relieve himself. David was in the cave. They were alone. David HaMelech could have killed Shaul at that time. Instead, he tore a little of the garment of Shaul, later showing him that I was there alone with you. If I wanted to kill you, I could have killed you. But what did I do? I ripped the garment just to show you that I was there. And therefore it shows that I don't have anything against you. Another time, Shaul was sleeping. David HaMelech was there again. Could have killed him. Instead, he took his sword out of his sheath. And later on, he showed it to him. He said, look, if I wanted to kill you, I could have killed you. Not only that, but with your own sword, I could have killed you. And therefore, Shaul eventually understood that David was not his enemy, but still he could not overcome his envious feelings. And again, I'm talking language over here that are very base language. In a moment, I will tell you how great Shaul HaMelech was. So you shouldn't take my words over it to think that Hasbro Shaul was as bad, I shouldn't use that word, as we're depicting him. Eventually, Shaul died. And of course, David eulogized him properly and he paid him great tribute. But he did write a chapter in Tehillim Yudhet, which he rejoices about the demise of Shaul. And to that, Borei Olam was angry at him. Borei Olam says, David, you have to know, Shaul was greater than you. And the only reason why you are going to exist and Shaul ceased to exist is because in one area you're better than Shaul. And that's because you have in you the future of the Malchut of Israel. But take away that issue that you have David called Malchut, Shaul is better than you. And therefore if you would be Shaul and Shaul would be you, I would get rid of many Davids and keep Shaul. Which means Shaul HaMelech was considered a Sadiq. He was considered Hasid. He was a practically a sinless man, we may say, to the extent the Tehillim calls him Kush. A Kushi. A Kushi is somebody that his skin is discolored or blackened. Why would Shaul be referred to as Kushi? So the Gemara says, Ma Kushi mishune be'oro, af Shaul mishune be'ma'asav. Just like a Kushi has different skin, his skin is different, so to Shaul, his ways were different. Nobody was like him. He was more special than anybody. But what? Because David had the anyan of Malchut, that's why Borei Olam preserved David in order to keep the Malchut Yisrael to continue, and he got rid of Shaul. And therefore in this chapter, David bemoans the fact, he says, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have rejoiced over the demise of Shaul. And that's why the chapter opens up, Shigayon de David. Shigayon can mean the mistake of David, which means it was a shigiyah, it was a mistake. Regarding the Malchut of David, We must understand that even though Shaul was much greater than David, but in this one prat, Malchut, David outweighed him. What does it mean, Malchut? In order to enjoy the kingdom, one who is totally effaced and totally humble, and he has no other will but to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing else besides the Rason Hashem means anything, that's the person that's away from Malchut. David was such a man that he totally subjugated every will and every desire to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaul, who was the Melech, did not reach that level. I'll give you an example so you can see the difference between Shaul and David, where it manifested in Malchut. Again, in other areas, Shaul was greater. But in this prat of Malchut, David had an advantage. That's why David continued to exist where Shaul ceased to exist. One example. Am Yisrael were about to fight against the Pilishtim. Shemuel HaNavi tells Shaul, listen, do not go to war until I come to the altar, to the Mizbeach, and I am going to bring the sacrifice. Only after I bring the sacrifice, then we can go to war. But don't do it without me. Shaul says, fine. Shaul gets to the Mizbeach. And now they're waiting for Shemuel. In the interim, Pilishtim are starting to come close. The people are starting to tell Shaul, hey Shaul, we can't wait for Shemuel. This is, we're at war over here. Shaul says, no, he said to wait. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, a week passed. And Shemuel doesn't show up yet. Now the people are in an uproar. The people tell Shaul, listen, sakana over here. The Pilishtim are going to attack us. Let's bring the sacrifice, appease God, and we have to go to war. By the time we wait for Shemuel, it's going to be over. We're all going to be dead. Shaul had to make a decision as a king of Israel. And he came along and said, the people are right. We can't wait anymore. And he brought the Korban Olah. What do you think happened right after he brought the Korban Olah? Who showed up? Shemuel. Shemuel says, what did you do? I told you to wait for me. You didn't wait for me. You brought the Korban without me. The people, they were nervous. This was already a flaw in the Malchut of Shaul, which means somebody that's total hitbatlu, total effacement in front of the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't matter what. The whole nation can be screaming, but Shemuel told you from the name of God that you must wait for him to bring the Korban. The world can cave in. And I'll give you an example where David was tested in similar situations, and he overcame it. David was also fighting against the Pilishtim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him that you have to go from behind the ambush. That's how you're going to attack Pilishtim. But you cannot start the war, which means you have to tell your soldiers they cannot shoot one arrow until you see the leaves on the trees start to move. There were certain trees over there. When the trees start to shake their leaves, then already you know, proceed. Okay, that's the orders. So they're going out, they make the ambush. Now the Pilishtim are coming. And David's holding back the soldiers. Don't shoot. Okay, fine. Now the Pilishtim are getting close. 100 feet. 50 feet. The people say, hey, David, they're here. What are you waiting for now? We're going to get killed. 20 feet. The Gemara says they came up to 4 amot. Which is they're charging Am Yisrael. And David HaMelech is standing there. The leaves didn't move yet. They said, David, we're going to all die over here. Mutav shenamut zakaim ve'al namut hayavim. That means it's better we die innocent, fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than to die guilty in contempt of God. Wow. At that moment, the trees started to shake, David started to fight, and miraculously he beat Pilishtim. At that moment, the Malachi Hashem came in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said, look at the difference between Shaul and David. Wow. Here David, which didn't matter. Which is, even though it was Baumayim Adnafish, which means it was up to his neck, and there's nothing to do anymore, doesn't matter. The word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, don't fight until the leaves move. He waited. Whereas Shaul, he came close. But at the last minute, he brings the Korban. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves David at the face of Shaul. Now, the first pasuk begins. Shigayon le David, Asher shar la Adonai al devrechush ben yemini. Now, what does the word shigayon mean? So we explained that according to Rashi, Shigayon is Melashon Shigiyah, it's a mistake. And David was bemoaning the fact that his mistake was that he's saying about the death of Shaul. Really, Shaul is Bechir Hashem. He's the chosen one from God. You see, David in his life always felt he could never kill Shaul, even though Shaul is a Rodef. Technically, you might argue, according to the Halakha, somebody that's pursuing you, you could defend yourself and kill that person. But David HaMelech always held, Shaul is Bechir Hashem. God chose him as the king. And any violent act towards Shaul is an act against God. And therefore he held it's forbidden. It's sacrilegious. It's anti-God, Chas v'Shalom, for David to react in such a way. Therefore he always restrained himself. He always controlled himself. At this point, when Shaul finally passed away, when David sang in Tehillim Yudhet, the song of Shaul's demise, later on in his life he felt that that was wrong. And therefore he says in this chapter, Shigayon le David, the mistake of David regarding what? Asher shar la Hashem, when he sang to God, Al divrei chush, regarding chush ben yemini. Who's chush? The chushi. Who's the chushi? Shaul. Why is chushi? Like we said, just like the Sipora, the wife of Moshe, she was also called Isha Kushit Asher Lakah. Why she's Kushit? So the Gemara says, just like a Kushit is different in his skin, so to Sipora was different b'maaseha, which means also the same concept. So Shaul also, his deeds were Mishichvo v'amala, which means he was Muram Me'am, he was elevated from the nation. He was different. There was only one Shaul. He was shoulders above everybody else. Binyamini, that's from the tribe of Binyamin. Shaul HaMelech descended from the tribe of Binyamin. Another interpretation is that David HaMelech was regretting, shows you the greatness of David HaMelech. Only a great man can regret when he make a mistake. Small people, when they make an error, they deny it. They don't admit it. David HaMelech's greatness was that he could make a chapter in Tehillim. He wrote this book, which means this wasn't a biography written about David. You know, if it was written about David, so the author could, you know, give his opinion. He made a mistake here, he made a mistake there. This is an autobiography. Here he's writing in his own book, Shigayon. Listen, you have to know. And he puts it right in the beginning. So everybody's going to get to this chapter. And he writes right in the beginning, Shigayon. You should know, I'm not embarrassed, I made a mistake. Where did David HaMelech get this strength to admit his mistake? He got it from his great-great-great-grandfather, Yehuda. Yehuda, when he was faced with that episode with Tamar, his daughter-in-law. His daughter-in-law became pregnant. Yehuda thought it was from an illicit relationship, Chas v'Shalom. So that Yehuda, being the Avbedin, he ruled a death sentence against Tamar. Ba'esh Tisaref, being she's the daughter of a Kohen that commits a promiscuity, he judged her to fire, death by fire. Eventually, Tamar alluded to Yehuda, alluded that he's the father. Yehuda could have denied it. Yehuda could have just made it as if, he didn't get the hint, or he could have just subverted the justice. And nobody would have known the difference. Pay attention. It surely must have been very embarrassing for Yehuda when he admitted in the middle of the courtroom, hold it, I'm the father. Oh, scandal of scandals. The Gadol HaDor now is mired in a controversy. He was about to kill a lady for an illicit relationship. Now we find out it's Yehuda that was behind this. This is a great amount of courage that Yehuda had to admit and not to be embarrassed. As a matter of fact, in our parasha, when Yaakov Abinu blesses Yehuda, the blessing to the tribe of Yehuda is Yehuda, Ata Yoducha Achecha. Your brothers will thank you, will serve you. But the Targum explains on these words, Yehuda, Ata Yoducha Achecha, Yehuda, At Odeta. You admitted your mistake and you weren't embarrassed. For this you will become the king of Israel. Because a king is only a king if he can be honest. First with himself. And therefore, we cannot have a king that, because he wants to protect his honor, will not admit mistakes. This can be very costly. That if a king, because he realizes he made a mistake, and the soldiers really should not fight a war, but because his ego is too big for him to admit that he made a mistake, and he sends the soldiers anyway, now you can jeopardize people's lives. Only a king who's honest, that will admit his flaws, is Ra'ui. David inherited this trait of Yehuda. So much so, this to me is a great lesson. So much so that in the beginning of the Tehillim he writes, Shigayon le David. I wonder if we were asked to write a chapter about our own lives. In school, for example. What chapter would we write? We'd write about some of our accomplishments. We'd write about some of the great things that we did, you know, for world Jewry. Some of the great accomplishments that we did in our family, in our community. I wonder if we would be asked to write a chapter about our lives, we would say, let me tell you over here the biggest mistake that I made in my career. That takes a very courageous and brave person. And that's the greatness of David HaMelech. He could start a chapter. Let me tell you, not about the great things that I did in my life. Let me tell you about the wrong things I did. Let me tell you about the shortcomings in my life. If that's already David Melech Israel, if he can admit his mistakes, certainly we cannot be so proud. We have to be willing to be more there. Ala emet. Finally, Rashi does say in the first chapter that could be David was regretting specifically ripping the garment of Shaul. There probably was another way that David could have signaled to Shaul that day when he was in the cave that David was there. Ripping the garment of Shaul was considered a pegam in the Malchut, because after all, the royal robe is part of the clothes of the Malchut. So ripping it was considered maybe a bizayon to the Melech. Therefore he regretted, not that he didn't kill him, but he regretted that the signal that he made might have been a disgrace for Shaul HaMelech. That's the way the majority of the Mefarshim understand this chapter, Ad-Divrechush Ben Yemini. However, I saw another interpretation that explains this chapter regarding another episode that took place in David HaMelech's life. David HaMelech, as we learned in the earlier chapters, you see, one of the beauty of the study of Tehillim, it's two classes in one. You get to review the entire Navi, and then at the same time, you get to fit it into the Pesukim in Tehillim. So it's like it's a dual class taking place simultaneously. We learned the story of Avshalom, when Avshalom was chasing David Melech Israel. Avshalom was his own son. David came close to death. Only after Ahitophel died, then already the tides turned, and David HaMelech was able to recover his kingdom. David HaMelech actually ran so far as he crossed the Jordan River to run away from Avshalom. When things settled down, the tribe of Yehuda, that was very loyal to David, after all, he's from his own, from their own, in the middle of the night, they decided to transport David over the Jordan back into Eretz Yisrael, and eventually establish his kingdom again like it was, Kibbutz Tehila. The reason why they chose to do this at night was because they felt they weren't so sure that Am Yisrael is accepting David yet, so they wanted to do it clandestinely, in order that there won't be any negative reaction from the Jews that sided with Avshalom. So they did it in a very overprotective way. The next morning, the tribes of Israel came to Yehuda and a confrontation broke out. What was the confrontation? The tribes of Yisrael said, how come you brought David in the middle of the night like a thief? How come you didn't bring him in the day? We would have made a parade for him. We would have made honor for him. And kavod, you deprived us from giving kavod to the king of Israel? So Yehuda comes along and says, what are you complaining? We did it to protect David. We didn't know exactly what the reaction is. Klai Yisrael comes to the tribe of Yehuda and says, he's not your king, he's our king. Which means, just because he's from your tribe, he's Melech Yisrael, therefore we have a right to have a say. And it came into heated controversy between the Shevatim and Amis, and the tribe of Yehuda. In the interim, came a fellow by the name of Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva bin Bichri was a notorious worshiper of Avodah Zarah, Rasha Merusha, and he saw the controversy stewing, so he got up in the middle and said, who needs a king anyway? We have nothing to do with David, we have nothing to do with his kingdom. Jewish people, everybody go back to your tents, we can self-govern ourselves, it's not necessary. And he started to curse and speak against David HaMelech, and he waged a coup and a rebellion against Malkut David, and there was many people that sided with him. David eventually escaped that clash with Sheva bin Bichri, and he went back to the kingdom, and his kingdom was established. After his kingdom was established, he told Yoav bin Tseruya, we must settle the score with Sheva bin Bichri. We cannot let him get away with what he did. He says, my son Avshalom, even though he rebelled against me, but I know, if it would have came to a final confrontation, Avshalom would never have killed me. But Sheva bin Bichri, he would have killed me. This man over here was capable for even killing David HaMelech. And therefore David told Yoav, don't fight him. So Yoav gets the army. Now they're going to go to the city where Sheva bin Bichri is, and they're going to hold the whole city responsible unless they turn over Sheva bin Bichri. No, because you have to remember that where Sheva bin Bichri lived, he had a lot of supporters. And therefore, they came now against the whole city. So Yoav comes into the town, ready to wage war. This is a civil war, mind you. There was an old lady living in that town, and the old lady felt that this was a mistake. What is Yoav doing over here? He's coming to attack this town over here of Jews. So she summoned Yoav to her home. Shockingly, Yoav gave this old lady credence and called a timeout in the war. And he told the soldier, everybody stay here, I have to go meet the old lady. Who was this old lady? None other than Sarah bat Asher. Sarah bat Asher, that we read about, that lived from the time of Yaakov Avinu, she was still alive hundreds of years later, in the time over here of David and Yoav. Our tradition tells us that Sarah bat Asher really never died. She actually entered Gan Eden alive. Maybe we'll give an interpretation in a moment about that. So she calls Yoav in, she says, Yoav, I'm shocked. Now Yoav, when she sees Sarah bat Asher, she's an icon. I mean, she's a piece of history. You know, she tells Yoav, listen, I've been around the corner a couple of times. I was by Yaakov Abinu's house. I was in Mitzrayim. I saw Har Sinai, I saw Kiryat Yam Suf. I saw Har Sinai, the Torah. I mean, I lived in the Midbar for 40 years. I ate the man. I saw the Anane Kavod. I saw Moshe Rabbeinu. And I mean, she was, like I said, around the block. And now, I know you to be a Yireh Shamayim, but you're making a mistake. What's my mistake? She quotes from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says regarding when the Jewish people go to war, it says that when the Jew goes to war, Ki tekrav il ir le'lachem aleha, ve'karata eleha le'shalom. You must come in peace for it. This is talking about when you're going to war against the enemies, the goyim. You can't just go fight. You have to give them the option to make peace. If they don't accept the peace, then they're already able to go to war. So Sarah bat Asher tells Yoav, all the more so when you're going to fight against Jews, you have to give them the option of peace first. What are you, just coming and get a barrel in the whole city over here? What are you doing here? Tell us what you want. Give us the conditions. If we can meet the conditions, then fine. If not, then you go to war. You're making a big mistake over here. As a result of that, Yoav felt bad. Yoav says, okay, we made a mistake. Mihaila will call off the war. Sarah then says, what do you want? He says, all we want is Sheva bin Bichri and his cohorts. That's all you want? I guarantee you, just give me a couple of minutes, we'll throw his head over the wall for you. Sarah bat Asher came back, she called the committee of this town, because everybody is at the beckoning call of Sarah bat Asher. They come to her, what's the matter? She's the Sadiqah. This is what's going on over here. I made a deal with Yoav. He's not going to fight anybody. He just wants Sheva bin Bichri and some of his cohorts. He actually wants 100 men. I'm going to make a deal with him. I'm giving him only 50. There's no reason why he has to kill 100. And sure enough, the committee of the town immediately seized Sheva bin Bichri They decapitated him, as we said, and Tzarach bat Asher delivered the head of Sheva b'Michri to Yoav in Syria, and the war came to an abrupt ending before it even started. And who diffused the whole situation? Tzarach bat Asher. You see over here that Yoav made a mistake over here. Who dispatched Yoav to the war? David. David HaMelech regretted his mistake that he told Yoav to go fight a war before he came to make peace. Shigayon le David. The mistake of David, Asher Shar la Hashem al Divrei Kush. The Divrei Kush over here is not Shaul according to this opinion. It's Sheva ben Bichri. Just like the Kush is black, Shehorani, which refers to the sins of Sheva ben Bichri. When we talk about Lavan, we talk about the purity, the whiteness of a person, his mitzvot. But al divrei kush, we're referring to the blackened one of sin, Benyamini. Sheva ben Michri also descended from Benyamin. And then when David, I made a mistake, I forgot the halakha. I should have told Yoav, listen, go with a white flag first. If they accept the one, go with an olive branch. If they accept the olive branch, good. If not, then take the artillery in. But I made a mistake. Tzarach bat Asher was right. Again, you see the greatness of David HaMelech. Where not only is he able to admit mistake regarding Shaul, but according to this, he makes even the mistake in the halakha. He wasn't so proud. That makes him the great hakam that he was. That even when he errs in the law, he's not too proud to say Shigayon. Just one word, if we may, now that we mentioned Tzarach bat Asher, you know, in our learning, we don't get too much time to talk about Tzarach bat Asher. Our name doesn't come up that often, where we're able to give little insights on this great lady's life. A lady that the Gemara says entered Gan Eden alive. What was the secret of her immortality? Our Torah tells us that the Jewish nation came down to Egypt with 70 souls. B'shevaim nefesh yardu avotecha misraima. And the Hachamim list for us the 70 souls. As we count them, we realize that there's only 69 souls. And therefore the Hachamim struggle to find out where is the 70th, where is the missing soul that came down to Egypt. Of course, the traditional understanding is Yocheved was the 70th, but she was born on the border, so she completed the 70. But the Hachamim also have an opinion that say Tzarach bat Asher was number 70. The reason why this poses a great difficulty is because Tzarach bat Asher was part of the 69. So how do you count? When you're counting Tzarach and bat Asher, you count different names over here, she had two passports. How do we understand that you can count Tzarach bat Asher as part of the 69 and then you count them as a separate one as number 70? So I saw a wonderful explanation over here. Tzarach bat Asher was the one that heralded the news to Yaakov Abinu that his son Yosef was still alive. The brothers were concerned that the shocking good news might be too overwhelming for Yaakov. Not only bad news is overwhelming sometimes, but even good news can be overwhelming, and a person has to be very measured in how he gives over news that might shock a person, especially Yaakov thinking that his son, Yosef, his beloved son, was murdered 22 years earlier by a wild animal. This would be a shock for Yaakov. So they told Tzarach bat Asher, who was a little girl, to break it to him slowly. So she took out the harp, and she started to sing a song, Od Yosef Hai, Od Yosef Hai. She already was planting the seeds into Yaakov's head that Yosef was still alive. Yaakov eventually got the news, and he was able to accept it because of Tzarach bat Asher's easing him into it with the song, and he blessed Tzarach bat Asher that because she gave good news, she should always be the one that gives good news, and she should live forever. That's the source of a blessing. But on a deeper level, our tradition tells us that if there's a character in our religion that is earmarked for telling good news, it's Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is the Mevasir. Kol mevaser, mevaser, ve'omer, like we say in Hoshana Rabba. Who's the mevaser of Yeshua? Mashmi'a Yeshua? The mevaser is Eliyahu Navi. We are waiting for the day when Eliyahu Navi is going to come and announce the coming of Mashiach. Actually, the books of Kabbalah write that any time somebody finds themselves in a position to give good news to somebody, at that moment when he's giving the good news, the spirit of Eliyahu HaNavi enters them. The source of all good news must come through Eliyahu HaNavi. And therefore any Bissurah Tova, Eliyahu HaNavi is there in the room with you, he's there with you. But in this case of Sarah Bat Asher, it's much more. Because the news that Sarah Bat Asher gave to Yaakov is the exact news that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to give to the people. Why? The reason why Yaakov was so depressed about the missing Yosef, because we have two Mashiachim. We have Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Yosef represents the first Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef. As a result, when Yosef was missing, that means the Mashiach is missing. It's going to affect the whole Geulah. By Sarah Bat Asher saying, "Od Yosef, hi," which he's really saying is, Mashiach is here. That's exactly what Eliyahu HaNavi is going to say. Nice. And therefore the Hakamim say, at that moment, the spirit of Eliyahu, which Eliyahu wasn't born yet, I understand that, but the Neshama of Eliyahu that was in Genzimet Omi came down and entered Sarah Bat Asher. This was like a premonition to what Eliyahu HaNavi is going to do one day to the entire nation. Yaakov is Am Yisrael. Yosef is Mashiach, Sarah Bat Asher is Eliyahu HaNavi. So the players did it once, just like a rehearsal. More than a rehearsal, this was the roots. And then it happened again with Klal Yisrael, with Mashiach Bezat Hashem and Eliyahu HaNavi. Therefore the Mefarshim say, Sarah Bat Asher has the spirit of Eliyahu HaNavi. We know Eliyahu HaNavi never dies. Eliyahu HaNavi lives forever. He was also Niknas Chai LeGan Eden. And that's the secret of her immortality, because she has the spirit of Eliyahu HaNavi with her. Furthermore, now we know what she's counted as two. She's counted for Sarah Bat Asher in the 69, and who was the 70th? The Eliyahu HaNavi part. Oh, this is already a very, very deep subject. You'll have to ask your rabbis to give you the exact interpretation, what the depth of this is, but I'm just giving you the Rashi Perakim. But one thing is for certain. It shows you that even at the time of the exile, when we went down, there was a silver lining. Like the Pasuf says, Imo Anuchi Besara. God says, I'm with you. Even when we went down to the exile, when the dark bitter night of Galut began, Borei Olam said, don't worry, the 70th one that's there is Eliyahu HaNavi, which means I'm sending the Redeemer with you down to Egypt. And therefore, even at the time of exile, Borei Olam is with his people. And that's what David HaMelech was saying at the beginning of the chapter, Shigayon David Asher Shal Hashem Adivrechush Ben Yemini. Okay, that's Pasuk 1. At this rate, it'll take us a few days to finish this chapter. Oh, let's see how far we can get. Hashem Elohai, Becha Hasiti, Hoshiaeni Mikol Rodefai, Vasileni. David HaMelech says, Becha Hasiti. In you, God, I seek refuge. Hoshiaeni mikol rodefai, save me from all my pursuers, vasileni, and save me. Now, there's a famous Gaon de Vilna that explains the different Hebrew words. What is the difference between hasaya and betachon? These are two words that mean I seek refuge in you, I'm relying on you, I trust, I put my trust in Bechahasiti, in you God I put my trust. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Tov lahasod ba'donai, mibetoach ba'adam. Better to put your trust in God than put your trust in man. But that's in English. In Hebrew it doesn't say that. It says, better to be lahasot ba'ashem than to be betoach ba'adam. What is lahasot and what is mibetoach? So the Gaon says like this. The word bitachon means when somebody gave you a guarantee. Let's say you go to your friend and you ask your friend for a loan, your friend says, I'm going to give you the loan. So now already you have a bitahon. He told you, I'm going to give it to you. So you trust him. Tomorrow I'm going to come pick up the loan. Hasaya means that you trust somebody even though he didn't give you any promise. He didn't give you his word, he didn't commit. David HaMelech says, I have a better chance of putting my trust in God and him coming through for me, even though he didn't tell me he's going to do it, even though he didn't promise, even though he didn't say, than to put my trust in human beings where they promised. Because human beings renege on their word. But even though he doesn't tell you he's going to give it to you, he gives it to you anyway. Even though he's not committed by any agreement, he comes through anyway. That's what David HaMelech says over here. Becha hasiti. God, even though you didn't promise me anything, but what? I trust you that you're going to come through for me. We have 22 letters in our alphabet. That's the 22 letters of the Torah. Our Torah consists of 22 otiyot. David HaMelech is saying, where does my strength come from? Becha hasiti. Becha is 22. From the 22 letters of the alphabet, which consists of the written law, the Torah itself, that's already where I put my trust. David HaMelech, you have to remember, was not only the king of Israel. David HaMelech was the chief rabbi of Israel. We ever think of David HaMelech in those terms? David HaMelech was first a rabbi. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. The Gemara Berachot tells us how David HaMelech would field questions in the morning when he would open the palace. Ladies would stand online outside with different questions on Damnida, on Ketamim, and David HaMelech says, "My hands became soiled with blood in order to mitaher isha lebaala, in order to allow a lady to be kasher to go to husband." Which means David HaMelech could have said, "This is beneath me. I'm going to start dealing with all these questions. Go to somebody else. I'm the king of Israel. I'm sitting in meetings. I'm sitting in kavod." That was David HaMelech's kavod. And then for David HaMelech says, "Because I gave kavod to the Torah protects me. Becha hasiti. The Torah protects." And the Gemara says in one place in Sotah, "Torah magna umatzna. Torah protects a person." Physically. Next pasuk. Pen yitrof ke aryeh nafshi. Porek ve'en masil. You saved me from the lion, from tearing my soul. Like a lion rips its prey. You saved me from the lion. Pen yitrof ke aryeh nafshi. Porek. Porek is to separate, to break things, ve'en matzil, and without rescue, which means, since everybody was chasing me, there was nobody to save me. Who is David specifically referring to over here? Who do you think the Aryeh? The Aryeh is the king of the jungle. He was referring to over here, Shaul. He says, Shaul was the king of Israel. I was all alone. Everybody was with the king of Israel. Shaul, for some reason, thought I was his enemy, and therefore he came to tear me up and destroy me. Ve'en masil, there was nobody on my side. Adonai Elohai, im asiti zot, im yesh avel bechapai. David HaMelech says like this. David felt he doesn't deserve all this abuse that he was getting from his enemies, because David kept on saying, I never mistreated them. It's one thing if I provoke them. It's one thing if I antagonize them. But this is all, it's one-sided. So David HaMelech says, Hashem Elokai, im asiti zot, which means, see if I have committed the following. If I committed the following that I'm going to say right now, then I deserve it. But if I didn't commit it, then you have to save me. So as if David HaMelech is presenting his case in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why is he asking for a reprieve? He says, Hashem Elokai, im asiti zot, see if I have committed these sins that I'm about to enumerate. Im yesh avel bekapai, see if there's any injustice in my hands. Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch learns that the word avel, its root comes from the word ol, ola, to rise up. What David HaMelech is saying is, as a king, see if I used my elevation of power to my advantage. In Yesha Avil, did I use my aliyah, did I use my escalation to power for personal gain? Did I abuse my position? In Yesha Avil Bechapai. Which means, David HaMelech always had the upper hand against Shaul. Whether it was in the cave, or whether it was an episode when he was sleeping, David always had the upper hand. And what did David HaMelech do with his hands? Instead of using those hands to murder, he ripped the garment and he took the sword of Shaul to show that he didn't kill him. In Yesh Avil Bechapai, in my elevation, meaning when I had elevation over Shaul, what did I do with it? I didn't do anything wrong with it. I didn't use it against him. Now David HaMelech says, Im Gamalti Shol Mira. The way you have to read this pasuk over here is David HaMelech is saying, if I did these things, now he's going to enumerate them. Then you can kill me. Then let my enemies trample me, let them destroy me. So he's saying the things that he potentially did not do. Im gamalti shol mira. If I have repaid my friends, which means in this case, did I pay back shol mi, the people that I'm at peace with, ra. This is referring to Shaul. David HaMelech says, I'm at peace with Shaul. But what? Shaul is giving me all this trouble. So it's as if David says, I was living peacefully with Shaul, because it was his father-in-law, and was also the commander of the armies of Klal Yisrael. He repaid all my friendly gestures, the Radak says, with malice. Whatever David did good, Shaul repaid him bad. But what does David HaMelech say? I always treated him well. I never repaid him with evil. Im gamalti shol mira. If I would have paid the ones that I am peaceful with evil, va'ahaletzat soreri rekam. I have spared those who were my unprovoked enemies with emptiness. Which means like this. David HaMelech says, not only did I refrain from dealing with Shaul, the harsh treatment that he deserved, but I spared him. V'ahalesat zoreri, I spared my enemies, rekam, for no reason. Why is it for no reason? Because after I spared him, he still came after me to kill me. So David HaMelech is saying over here, what did I do wrong? Did I pay my enemies that I was at peace with? Did I not spare them for no reason, rekam? I got paid back in emptiness. And then David HaMelech says, if I did do that, then I deserve it. Yiradof oyev nafshi. Let the enemy trample my soul and chase me. V'yaseg v'yirmos la'aris hayai. Let him pursue me, let him overtake me, let him trample my life to the ground. Uchbodi on my neshama. Le'afar yashken se'la. Let my soul lay in the dust forever. If I did anything wrong with Shaul, God, come at me with the strictness of your justice, of your judgment. However, that's not the case. And since that's not the case, now he says, whatever I have to save me from my enemies. I did no wrong over here. Now, according to Rashi, the end of the chapter is all referring to not Shaul anymore. Now it's referring to all the other enemies of David, specifically the Goyim. And David HaMelech says, Kuma Hashem be'apecha, which literally means, rise up Hashem in your anger, Hinase be'avrot sorerai, which means, lift yourself up in fury against my tormentors. Again, Hinase, raise yourself up be'avrot, in fury, sorerai, against my enemies, ve'ura elai, and strengthen me, Ura Eli, strengthen me, Mishpat Sivita, in order to mete out the judgment which you command. So the Mefarshim say over here, since I did not sin, I don't deserve the afflictions that I'm getting. On the contrary, I deserve that you should rise up and save me from my enemies. And that's what it means in Naseh. What do you mean? When God judges the enemies, what happens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a Kiddush Hashem. God's name is elevated. Vayigva Hashem Sevaot b'mishpat. What does it mean? God is elevated in judgment. Because when there's injustice in the world and the evil people get away with doing what they're doing, the world says, but there's no God in the world. Let din velet dayan. And therefore, has v'shom it's a kiddush Hashem. So look how David HaMelech prays over here. Don't do it for me. Whenever David HaMelech prayed, he always prayed that he wants to get answered to make a kiddush Hashem. And that's why he says, hinnaseh. That's not personal. I don't want you to fight the enemies so I can get a revenge, so I can kill them. But as long as my enemies are victorious, and I did nothing against them, so what does the people say? Sadiq v'ra l'sham v'tovlo. The people are going to say, look, the good man, David, he suffers, and the Rasha is overpowering him. And the real enemies of David said, David's the bad man, must be. And therefore it's going to be a tremendous halul Hashem. But God, you couldn't do that. Innaseh. By you fighting the enemies, you're able to elevate yourself. And that's the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu told Borei Olam when they worshipped the Eger. Lama yehere Hashem ve'amecha asher otzeta memisraim. Lama yomeru misraim b'ra'a osiyam. God, save Am Yisrael, not because they deserve it, but because if you don't save them, what are the Egyptians going to say? It's going to reflect against you. It's going to make a halul Hashem. When God heard that angle, the halul Hashem angle, it worked. And that's what David HaMelech says over here. Right? I say the man shemach. Do it for your name's sake. And that's why you see you have to really pray. I can even learn over here a klal in tefillah. That when you're praying, like I think we said it last week in the shiur as well, with Hannah, that she was praying for a son, not for the motherly instinct that she wanted a child in order to cuddle and buy clothes for. She wanted a child, so she gave it to God, so he could sanctify the divine will. And that's exactly how you're supposed to pray. You have to figure out a way how your needs are ultimately going to bring to the greater glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it continues. Va'adat le'umim tesobebeka. God. Va'adat le'umim, that means the assembly of nations that surround you, which means all the enemies of the Goyim, that they're flocking around God, meaning they want God's help in order to fight David. Va'adat le'umim tesobebeka. God, you're surrounded by all the Goyim. They all want your divine help to fight me. Ve'alea lamarom shuva. But you know what your answer should be to them? Lamarom shuva. I'm going back to my place in the heavens. Which you don't answer them. Tell them I'm not home. When they come to you to ask for help, ve'alea lamarom shuva. God, go back to your spot. Don't deal with them. Go back to the Shamayim over there and, don't let them get close to you. Do not remain on earth to be involved with them. Pay no attention to them. And to return to where you belong, in the heavenly repose. Hashem yadin ammim. Bari olam, you will judge, or you will punish the nations. Shofteni Hashem kesidki uchtumi alai. Which is at the same time, Borei Olam, when you punish the nations, meaning my enemies, reward me according to my righteousness and to my integrity. Yigmor na ra reshaim utchonen sadik ubohen libot uchlayot Elohim sadik. Very important principles we learn from this pasuk. David HaMelech says, number one, yigmor na ra reshaim. He doesn't pray for the destruction of the enemy, but he says, Yigmor na ra reshaim. Let the bad of the reshaim cease. Let the evil of the wicked vanish. This is a principle that the Gemara Berachot teaches us. When Rabbi Meir had some neighbors that were not religious, and they were tormenting him. So Rabbi Meir prayed for their destruction. His wife Beruria felt that was a mistake. You don't pray for the death of the Rishayim. Pray for them to make teshuvah. And she supported it on a pasuk in Tehilim, Yitamu Hataim in Haaretz. Let the sins vanish from the world. Hataim velo Chotim. Urshaim Odenam. And then once there's no more sins in the world, automatically there'll be no more Rishayim. David HaMelech echoes the same principle. Where David HaMelech says, Yigmor na ra Rishayim. Let the ra of the Rishayim cease to exist. But not the Rishayim. You must pray for them to make Teshuvah. One rabbi considered a person that's misguided, that has these Rish'ut, as somebody that's sick. What do we do for sick people? We pray for them. We pray for them to get healed. These people were suffering spiritual malady. They were suffering rifuata nefesh. And therefore David HaMelech says, God, I'm not praying for them to die. These are the people that had a chance to make the Shuvah, obviously. There's different Nesha'im. So Yigmor na ra Rishayim. And then what does he say? Utchonen Sadiq. And then as a result, you'll sustain the righteous. The righteous will have support. Ubohen libot uchlayot Elohim Sadiq. The righteous God is able to search the hearts and mind of human beings. What does this mean over here? Whenever we talk about kilayot, kilayot means kidneys. The kidneys, according to the Gemara, are the source of intellect and counsel and advice. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought the source of intellect comes from the brain. But that's what you need to Gemara. The Gemara says, no, whenever the kilayot, kilayot is a representative of the mind. Like we had in the Gemara this week. I saw from Rabbi Gifta Alav HaShalom, he says, what is the connection between the human mind and the kidney? So he says, the kidney is a filter. What does it do? It filters the blood from all its impurities. The mind is the same thing. It gets all ideas that come into it, and the brain, intellectual, is able to filter out which ideas are valid and which ideas are not. Hence, the Hachamim always would compare the brain to kilayot. Because the brain is a filter, so therefore it nicknames the brain as the kilayot, because it also filters out the good ideas from the bad ideas. So David HaMelech is saying, only you, Hashem, are capable of making a thorough analysis of the heart and mind to determine who the tzaddik is and who is not a tzaddik, because you're the tzaddik. Elohim tzaddik, you're the only righteous one. And therefore, you know who the good guy is and who the bad guy is. My antagonizers might say that I'm the bad one. But you're Bohen Kilayot Milibot. Borei Olam, you are able to penetrate the heart and soul of the person to know exactly who's right and who's wrong. Magini al Elohim, Moshia Yishlelev. Again, I trust in God to be my shield. This is again David. David HaMelech says, you're my shield, you're going to protect me. Moshia Yishlelev. You save the ones that are righteous. Let's go one more pasuk. Maybe we can get to the end. We'll try to get to the end quickly. Elohim shofet tzaddik ve'el zo'im bechol yom. God is the righteous judge. So you have to read the pasuk like this. Elohim, God, is a shofet tzaddik. Is a righteous judge. Which means obviously he does not take bribery, cannot be tainted or swayed. Not to read it as Elohim Shofet, that God judges the Sadiq. No. God is a righteous judge. Elohim Shofet Sadiq is a right judge. The El Zo'em Bechol Yom. And God gets angry every day when he sees the deeds of the wicked. The Gemara Berachot tells us that this anger that God has on a daily basis is a very dangerous moment. And only Bil'am HaRasha knew when that moment was, and it's based on this pasuk, Ve'el Zo'im Bechol Yom. He knew the moment, and the moment only lasts for a split second. And at that moment, he was going to calculate it in order to curse Am Yisrael. Miraculously, on those days that Bil'am cursed Am Yisrael, God didn't get angry on those days. Which is, he went against his normal procedure of operation. Im Lo Yashuv. If the Rasha does not repent from his ways, harbo yiltosh, he will sharpen his sword. That means God's going to prepare his weapons to attack him. Harbo yiltosh, he will sharpen his weapon. Who's going to sharpen his sword? God. Kashto darach, he's going to bend and aim his arrow, and aim it. Kashto darach, he's going to bend it. Darach literally means to step. In the olden days, when they would use a bow and arrow, right, you have to pull the arrow, the bow back, right, to shoot. Sometimes it was, they really wanted to get it pulled back, so what they do is they would use their foot. They would step down on the bow in order to push it down in order to get some force back. So kashton darach, they would step on the bow itself to pull it back. That's referring to God punishing the Rishaim with his force, with the different weapons. Velo hechin kelemavet. Hisav ledolechim yifal. Borei Olam has prepared deadly weapons. Hisav, his arrows, ledolechim yifal. His arrows against those in hot pursuit. The dolekim, God attacks them in hot pursuit. I saw once, I remember now, maybe it's the Baal HaTurim says, there's three pesukim in the Tanakh that start with the word velo. One of them is velo echin kelemavet. Maybe there's two pesukim. The other pasuk is velo sheten hashim. By Elkanah, it says that he had two wives, Hana and Penina. So I heard that the rabbis make a joke. They say, "Velo sheten hashim, velo echin kelemavet." The person that has two wives, velo echin kelemavet, he's prepared for him the weapons of that, because there's going to be kin'ah and fighting, and there's going to be envy and jealousy in the house. Velo sheten hashim, velo echin kelemavet. Hine yahabbel aven, hine yahabbel aven, vehara amal, ve'alad shakir. The pasuk over here says, behold, the wicked man conceives iniquity. Let's talk about the Rishaim now. He says the Rishaim are like pregnant. Like a lady that's pregnant, she gives birth to a child. Hine yahabel avin. The Rasha, what does he conceive? What comes out of him? Avin. He gives birth to iniquity. It's like the hatching of evil plots. That's what the Rishaim mean. Yahabel avin. He just produces evil. Vehara amal, he's pregnant with evil schemes. And what comes out of that pregnant evil scheme? Ve'alad shakir, and he brings forth falsehood. Bor kara bayachpereu. This is referring to Borei Olam. Borei Olam eventually brings the Rishaim down. Bor kara, God digs a pit. Bayachpereu, which means he digs it deep. Vayipol beshachat yifal. And Borei Olam causes the Rasha to fall into that trap. Which is the way they're learning this over here is, the Rasha sometimes becomes entrapped in his own scheme. A classic example of this pasuk is Haman. Where Haman built a tree in order to kill Mordechai, Bor kara, he dug a pit, vayachperewi, hafar, he went deep and deep. But what happened? Vayipol beshachat yifal. He fell into his own trap and fell into his own destruction. Paro dug his pit. As a result of his decree, he ended up saving Moshe Rabbeinu and raising him in his own palace, which means from his own trap that he dug in order to go against the Jewish people, he ended up falling in. His whole decree was what? To save, to kill the Jewish savior. As a result, he saved the Jewish savior. Not only that, but he gave him allowance. He supported him. He was raised under his lap. David HaMelech ends the chapter. Yashuv amalo berosho, Borei Olam, let his mischief recoil upon his head. Val kodkodo, and upon his skull, hamaso yered. His violence will descend. That's one of the Rishaim. I have a hard time on this, appreciating all these pesukim, because we don't have any enemies. Who's our enemies over here? The tax collector? Who are we thinking about when we say these pesukim? David HaMelech had real enemies that were out to kill him. So we say, oh, he's very violent. You know, who's he talking about? David HaMelech had people that were trying to rid him. Ode Adonai kesedko va'azamera Hashem Adonai Elyon. I thank God for His righteousness, which means when Hashem is going to complete His total judgment of the Rishaim according to their measure, I thank Him. Va'azamera Hashem Hashem Elyon. I will sing the praises of God who is most high, which means God is considered El Elyon. What does El Elyon mean? We say the Amidah every day. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is high above all, which means nobody can tell him what to do. Borei Olam is the supreme ruler. And therefore, he can do whatever he wants. That was Azamira Hashem El Elyon. I will praise God that nobody can stop him from meeting out his judgment. Yiratzon. We studied Baruch Hashem a full chapter tonight. We got concepts of David HaMelech with Shaul, with Sheba ben Bichri, exactly how David HaMelech prayed, the style. Borei Olam will bless us at this auspicious moment of Motzei Shabbat, the time of David HaMelech, that it's Zechuto Yagen Aleinu Bar Amo Yisrael. Amen.